This Bible study is entitled King of Kings, an Eternal Kingship. Gordon is reading from Revelation chapter 17, verse 14.
Because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You get this repeated way over in chapter 19 and verse 16. And on his robe and on his thighs, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Did you notice that the order is changed? You might likely consider if there's any significance in that. And it may seem a rather a strange beginning to looking at Christmas, a subject of Christmas. But when you look and study the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and the actual, how long, up to 2 years, if it's as long as that, there are many unusual features that are involved with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. From our point of view, the number of prophecies from the Old Testament being fulfilled, the accuracies of them being fulfilled, especially where you have the virgin birth. That's most unusual, isn't it? Where it took place? In a stable. Well, it wasn't a stable. It would be in most of the Palestinian houses. There was not quite two stories, but there was a raised place within where the family slept. And then there would be where the animals slept. And that would be where Mary and Joseph were. There was no room up the top that had visitors. It would be in that particular place where the animals were. And the timing of the census, wow. Even the emperor of Rome was fulfilling the Lord's commands. The visit of the shepherds, of course, and the visit of the magi and their gifts. But one of the most extraordinary statements that was made is this: the magi to Herod, where is he who has been born king? And of course, in the Bible, it adds of the Jews, but we know his king is a wider, and we'll look at that in a moment or two. Even those who are born as a part of a royal family or a royal dynasty are not born king. They're born princes or princesses in the likes of the ladies. But this was, of course, no ordinary child. He is named as Emmanuel, God with us, the creator and ruler from eternity. Revelation 17:14 and 19:16 reveals that in the future, he would be called King of Kings. In 17:14, he's seen as the victorious one, as it defeats all of his enemies. Some, of course, we know are already defeated. Death no longer has a sting, for example, and that's an enemy defeated. But the verse indicates the final conflict between good and evil, of God and Satan, and between God's chosen people and Satan's followers. And Christ reigns supreme over every activity that's going. Because remember, the kings in those days were not figureheads. They were dynastic rulers. And if they said off with his head, off with the head it was. You know that from Herod and John. Of course, we know as well, between the born king and the final King of Kings, he was also the crucified king. Matthew 27:37, Mark 15:26, Luke 23:38, John 19:19. Interesting, all four Gospels, for all the differences they show from time to time, all include the inscription that Pilate put over the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He died a king. But the truth is, he is the greatest king, the Lord Jesus. He is magnificent. We recognize that he is the son of David from the prophecies in Isaiah. but he's also the root from which David came into being. And we must never, ever forget that. Psalm 2 and verse 6, and we'll be looking at a few things from there. You get this. For the Lord declares, this is the king of my choice. I have enthroned him. And when you look at that, first of all, I want you to note, it's past tense. I have enthroned him. The king who is God's choice is already on the throne, ruling supreme. And we'll be looking in a moment or two at one or two other things. I would recommend to you a good study on Psalm 2. If you study it and some of the other Psalms, you discover many characteristics of who he is and the kind of rule he will exercise. And I'm just going to look at one or two of these things. When we read it, he is the king of God's choice. He is already in his kingly position or office and acts with authority. You read in the psalm, he is the son of God, Emmanuel. His reign is everlasting. He has heavenly characteristics and is heaven sent. He carries as his right regal authority. He is upright, that is holy, righteous, without sin, perfect. He is God's equal. He is enjoying the position of favor, right hand. He rules not only in word, but in reality and power. He holds absolute sway, even over his enemies. He emerges victorious. Revelation 17 again. He acts and speaks in grace. He's characterized by grace. He's characterized by glory, by truth and meekness. And finally, the great thought is that he was not alone, for he has a bride. And of course, that bride is the church, the believers. And I think it comprises of Old Testament believers and New Testament believers. But the full fruition of it all begins at Bethlehem when he's born. Although he was a king already appointed, he was never lost that kingship. But in that kingship, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What glorious majesty! This great majestic king born in such humble circumstances, not in a palace where he would be unreachable by the masses, but right there amongst them. But to me, the greater majestic glory is the purpose for which he came, to save his people from their sin. Sometimes I think we are a bit guilty of being quite casual about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the purpose of looking at this as the King of Kings is to bring that sense of awe and adoration into the Christmas message. Because the babe that was born is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the supreme ruler from beginning to end. And that's amazing.
That was Gordon Stoves on behalf of Gospel Outreach International in December 2021, part of the Behind the Tinsel series. We hope you have enjoyed this Bible study, and if you'd like to join us for other online Bible studies, then you can find more details at goi.org.uk. You are welcome to share this Bible study with others, but please don't modify it without express permission.